You are listening to Jai Long, and this is Make Your Break. Now, on the last episode of Make Your Break, I had a special guest on named Nathan Chansky. If you don't know who he is, he's an amazing wedding photographer. He's also a podcaster, and he has a podcast called Passion with Purpose. I was a guest on his podcast just a couple of weeks ago, and I've repurposed it and I've brought that same interview to you here because I know not everybody is on his podcast and, you know, listening to what he's up to. So if you haven't seen his podcast yet, go over and check it out. Now, Nathan is an amazing photographer. He was inside the six-figure business map back in 2021. And needless to say, he has absolutely, you know, gone strides in the industry. And now he is a coach himself as well. And he's helping a lot of people that are, you know, going to pursue photography full time and quit that 9-to-5, which is really, really cool. And I just love seeing people out in the world that I've had the chance to work with and people that's had a chance to, you know, experience some of our products as well. And then just seeing how big people get. And it's so cool to see someone like Nathan with so much ambition just absolutely dominate the world. Now, this is also the reason why he is coming and speaking at the Unrealistic Workshop, which is my first big in-person workshop. I'm really excited about it. It's going to be hosted in Los Angeles in August. We're going to have 200 tickets in person, which I think maybe around about 30% sold out already. So if you'd like to get into a room with myself, with Nathan, with India Earl, Jennifer Moher, Cara Mia, Usher Bailey, and a whole bunch of other people, then I suggest you get over and get one of your tickets ASAP. We've made this thing as affordable as possible, and it's just going to be so incredible to spend 2 days talking about how we can live an unrealistic life, how we can expand our goals, think bigger, do more, and without all the burnout and without everything else. So I'm really excited about that. And if you don't have your ticket yet, honestly, what are you waiting for? The last thing is, you don't have to show up in person for the Unrealistic Workshop. We're going to have online streaming as well. So I want you to think about the 90s MTV. We're going to have, so Anna, she works for us full time and she is going to be the host of the online version, and she's going to walk around with a microphone. She's going to talk to all the speakers in between the keynote presentations. All the people online can talk to the people that are there in person as well, and we're going to have some really cool interactive features so everybody feels included. There's also some VIP, and if you're VIP, you'll be broadcasted in the room as well, and so you can ask questions for the speakers and stuff like that. So if you've got any questions, just hit me up on Instagram at jialong.co, and if you want, DM me the word workshop at jialong.co, and then I'll send you all the information that you need, including those tickets and everything else. So I won't waste any more of your time. Let's get into today's episode.
All right. So today on the podcast, we have the Jai Long. Jai, I'm just going to have you introduce yourself a little bit. Tell us a bit about who you are, a little bit about what you do, whatever you want to say.
Awesome, man. Hey, I just want to say thank you for having me on here. And I just want to say, man, I've been loving everything you've been doing lately. Like, it's blowing me away. You're killing it, which is awesome.
Appreciate it, dude.
Gets me really inspired.
The feeling is very mutual.
Gets me really inspired. So yeah, my name is Jai Long. I'm a business coach and predominantly for photographers and basically all creatives. For myself, like, I've been an entrepreneur for 16 years now, and I have done a lot of marketing, a lot of sales, and I feel like I am equal parts creative as equal parts analytical, and it really helps me to sort of get out there and create something unique, but then put the data behind it to make it work. And I think that's my little superpower. But yeah, I've been doing this. I was a photographer for 10 years, wedding photographer, which I have hung that up now just to go full in on this stuff because it's just so busy and there's so many people that need help right now with so many different things that are happening. So really privileged and thankful to be in the position that I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. So something that I've noticed about you is you have an incredible backstory, and it's probably, there's probably like a really, really, really long version of it, but I would just love to know, like, if you could condense any part of it down for the listeners who maybe haven't heard your story yet, I would love to hear any part of that and just how you got to, you know, where you're at today and your journey into entrepreneurship.
Cool. I'll share a story of one of my first businesses. So for you guys that don't know, like sort of where I come from and stuff, we were homeless for a lot of years and we grew up in the government housing and we sort of went through that whole system. I moved out of home when I was about 15, 16 and did an apprenticeship as an electrician. And at that time, my dad was going through a bit of a drug problem and he was in and out of rehab. And I really wanted to help him in some way. And so the way that I could see is because I grew up in sort of an area where there was like no one had businesses, no one really had high income or anything like that. So that was something very foreign to me. And I didn't understand how the system worked because I didn't really go through school. And the thing that I thought is if I got my dad a job, then I would be able to help him because it would give him purpose, right? And it's just like your podcast is all about purpose. And so he was in rehab at the time. And then I thought, okay, so all I need to do is go down to the phone booth, just start making phone calls and just call every business and see if I can get him a job. And after about a week of endless phone calls, it came apparent that he was unemployable and no one's going to give him a job because he's in rehab and who would employ him? And for me, what I realized was, I was like, who makes these rules? I'm like, the rule makers are the bosses and the bosses are the business owners. And so the business owners call the shots. And so I realized real fast, I was like, if I was going to get him a job and if I want to forge my own path and do the things I want to do in the way that I want to do, I have to have a business and I have to be the boss. So from that, me and my partner, we started a cafe and it was a big ordeal. You could sit 300 people. We put a lot into it, sold my car, you know, went all in. I didn't know anyone that knew business, so I had to learn everything on the fly. And the whole idea was to give my dad a job as a chef because he was really good at cooking and that would give him some purpose. Now, the problem was he actually passed away about 2 weeks before we opened the doors. And so it became incredibly hard because I lost my why and I lost the purpose of the actual business. And so from there, we still opened, but there was extra unforeseen costs and things like that. And I was obviously learned so much of marketing and sales and everything like that. And it took about 12 months before my partner said that we need to close the doors. Like it's just not working. And I remember at this stage, we were living in the cafe. So, we had an old van that one of my friends gave us and we closed the door, the roller door for the last time. And I remember we drove out to the beach and we just parked on the beach and I didn't sleep that night and I was watching the sunrise come up and I remember I opened the window a little bit and the air was coming in and the sunrise looked amazing. And I just remember thinking like, if this is the lowest point in my life, then it's not that bad, you know? And so I kind of felt like I was reborn because I got to let go of a lot of things, which was, you know, my dad and the cafe and the things that I was doing. And then at that very moment, I got to sort of start all over again. And I think that was really powerful. And it made me realize like in business, it's, we have so many seasons and you ebb and flow and like things happen and, it's not the end of the world, you know, and you get to wake up tomorrow and do something again. And I think for me, that zest of life, it's helped me for the last 16 years fail a lot of times and succeed a lot of times and do everything in between. And so now I can sort of like help people on that journey as well, which is fucking incredible.
Yeah. I love that. I'm so glad you shared that just because like, you know, I love the stuff you put out and I just love, especially the mindset that you put out there and just kind of giving people, if they haven't heard about you yet, kind of a understanding of where you come from. Something that I know has been like the coolest thing to see in your story is just the way that you handle and then even share failure and the way that like, you know, one of the parts of the way that you started entrepreneurship is that the first thing you did didn't go technically as you fully planned it. And, you know, you don't shy away from that. You just completely normalize that. And I love that. Do you think that for a lot of entrepreneurs, that there is a dimension where they don't get to where they don't reach a certain point or they don't pass a certain point simply because they are afraid to fail? And do you think that you have kind of no inhibition in that sense because you've already been there?
Totally. I think when you experience, well, we're always scared of the unknown. So like I'm more scared of tremendous success because I just don't know what that looks like. I don't know how to hire more people. I don't know how to scale. Like, and so we're always scared of what we don't know. And so if you know what failure feels like, it no longer holds anything over you because you know what to do. You know how to react to it. You know the steps to get out of it. For that, for me is, yeah, it is, it's helped me a lot, you know, and I know, like, it's funny to say, but like my adversity is obviously my privilege, because it's like, we all grow up differently, but there's studies shown that like, there's a certain amount of adversity that you can go through and a trauma that you experience that will shape you into someone that will see more opportunities and that will have big ambition and things like that. And it's something that you can't teach sometimes, you know, like you can show people the way that's like, you don't need to be scared, but it's hard to sort of teach the fact that like, yeah, showing up over and over. And me, like I personally don't have imposter syndrome, because I don't see myself as an imposter. That's not who I am. I'm not an imposter. I'm just doing my thing, you know, and I'm never faking anything. I don't fake it till you make it. I fucking do the thing. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. You know, there's no faking in that. And so like, I have a different mindset to what most, especially creative entrepreneurs have. And I acknowledge that and I see that. And so I'm obviously never like making someone feel bad the way that they, move through the world and their upbringing, everything, because we all feel the same. We all experience the same things. It's just knowing yourself deeply. And I think that's just a really important thing. Instead of listening to all the coaches and you know, the gurus and stuff, it's like, you just got to listen to yourself and you got to understand that we all move through the world so differently.
Yeah, absolutely. Now you say you're like, I don't struggle with imposter syndrome and you don't fake it till you make it. Can you tell us a little bit more about that? Cause I don't know. I kind of like where you're going with that a little bit. Like why do you think you don't struggle with imposter syndrome? Why do you feel like you don't have to fake it to actually do something incredible?
It's real interesting. I was actually reading a book the other day and they're talking about how confidence is fake, because basically to build your own confidence up is you are trying to create something that's not actually there. And then from there, you're going to be perceived as somebody that knows what they're doing, but you can't fake doing the things that you do. Like I can't fake going bankrupt because I did that. I can't fake that I had porridge for breakfast because I actually ate that. There's no confidence in that. It's just a fact. And I think like with my life experiences, there's just so many facts there that there's like, I can't fake it. And there's no imposter syndrome because I'm only am who I am. Like I actually am who I am. I'm not an imposter. And so it's an interesting concept, because maybe people will feel imposter syndrome when they're going into a role that they shouldn't be in, and they always feel like, oh, you know, people are going to find out I'm not as good as they think I am and all that kind of stuff. But I've always been very transparent. I don't hide that I'm not as good as I think I am. You know, so I tell people, I don't fucking know what I'm doing. I have no idea. All I do is I go out there and I do the thing, and then I get data back to my brain that tells me if it's good or if it's not good. And if it's good, then I follow that path and I'm like, I have proven to myself that that does work. It might not work for you, but it does work for me. And then I'll continue to do that. And I think that's just like the way that I have learned since I was a kid, like basically bringing myself up, was always sort of like having, like knowing, like when we say fake it till you make it, instead of that, what I do know is I know my limitations. So I know what I can do and what I can't do. So I won't fake something what I can't do, but I will put myself in a situation where I know I don't know how to do the thing, but I know how resourceful I am. So I know where to find the answers. And I think it's like a really important small difference, but it's important to know that like I'm confident in all those situations because I know how resourceful I am and I know how resilient I am. And I've proven that to myself, and that all comes from past experiences.
Yeah, I love that. And even the fact of, you know, I don't think we need to fake it if we have the proof. You know what I'm saying? Like if you actually know that I don't know if you've heard Alex Hormozi, but he'll say like, hey, if you struggle with confidence, like build a stack of undeniable proof that you are who you say you are, then you don't need confidence. Now you just have data and you're just functioning off of facts now. And to me, I've always resonated with that so much more than the fake it till you make it stuff, because again, you're putting yourself in a position where ultimately you're always looking over your shoulder, always trying to make sure that no one's trying to find you out because you have something to hide. Whereas if you have nothing to hide and you're just like, hey, here's me, this is where I'm at, it's just like no one can screw with you on that level because you're just putting it all out there. I even think sometimes to almost like, I think to beat people to the punch at mentioning your weaknesses before they even try to mention them about themselves, I think is so awesome. Just so that, again, you're just stripping the power away from other people and bringing it back to yourself.
Exactly. And there's that famous scene in 8 Mile of Eminem where he does that to win the battle. And it's like, that's always stuck in my head. I'm like, man, the fact that he just literally was just honest and just like put it out there. It's like, it takes the power away because, and I learned this when I was young, because so many people got bullied on my street, you know, so there were so many bullies around. I never got bullied. And the reason being is because I never gave the power. Like if someone's like, Jai, you're fucking stupid. I'm like, I know. Thank you for letting me know. You know, so I was never fighting it back. I'm like, if you think I'm stupid, that's fine. You know, You've got a different perspective than what I have on for myself. And that's totally fine. You know, I think, I get bullied. I'm getting bullied today, actually, like online bully. And it's like, you know, they're like, Jai, I hate what you're doing. Like, you shouldn't be doing it. And this is from like a big educator. I'm like, good. I know, you know, sometimes things just don't resonate with you and that's your lens and that's fine. You know, I'm doing my thing.
Yeah. I find that quite frankly, if no one's hating on me, then for the most part, no one's actually loving anything either. And I think to the degree that someone kind of like despises what you're doing is also to the same degree that someone is going to be really passionate and love what you do. Mm, and so even like, totally. You know, I've started posting different posts about, I don't know, for some reason, some of my posts, when I talk about sales, people get really uptight because I don't know why, but I find it interesting. And it's just like, you know what, like if someone hates what I'm posting, to be honest with you, that's okay, because someone else is really going to resonate with that. And it's really going to stick out to them and make them passionate about what I'm actually saying. And so I'm okay with somebody like hating a little bit. It's just proof positive that maybe I said something right for once.
Well, also the reason why they're hating those posts, it's not because you're creating those posts. It's because it's triggering for them. And it's triggering for them because they don't know sales, or they know that's a vulnerable spot in their business, or they know that they don't want their competitors to see, you know, your tips, because then they're going to fall behind and they're going to have to confront the fear at some point. So it always comes back to them, you know. And so if you're creating content that's worth listening to, of course, it's going to trigger some sort of emotion. It's going to be fear-based. It's going to be happy-based. It's going to be something, but it means you're creating content that's worth listening to.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you have, and no doubt, like I think a lot of what we're talking about plays into this, but you have no doubt developed an incredible and vast community and flagship course. I would just love to dive into that a little bit. Like, how have you done this so effectively? How have you built, like there's very few communities out there that I see, especially in the photography space, that are as robust as the one you've built. Talk to us a little bit about how you've created that type of a community that's supportive, that's, you know, like high performing, that's positive, all those things.
Yep. The big secret is, and this is something I worked out back in 2013 when I was joining, back then it wasn't really courses, but just like workshops and stuff. The big secret is people don't care about you. It's not about you. And I think too many influencers and educators, they get caught up thinking like they're rock stars and everyone wants to be with them and everyone wants just to pay a little bit to like hang out with them and learn from them. But really everyone is in it for themselves and what can they get out of it? And I think the most important thing was like, I always fucking care. And I think that's the key thing. It's like, I care when people come in and they're having a good time, they're having a bad time, they're struggling, they're doing whatever. My team cares. And I think because of that difference, it's no longer like I am the hero of the story. It's like everyone's the hero. And then we are the facilitators. So we're there to help. And it's changed the game, completely changed the game, I think, in the industry, because I can see now people are like trying to create what I've created and things like that. And they will successfully do it. And it's the reason why we did it. We want to see change, you know? So I've always wanted to see change, and we've created change over the last like 4 years, I think, in the education space, and it's becoming widely adopted now, which is really cool. But I would say like 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, even right now, there's so many big name photographers that sell cash grabs and they don't care about anyone. And then, and they don't care about what they're actually teaching. They're not actually showing people what they've done to get to where they are and stuff. And so it's very ingenuine. And even in the course, like I say, like, you know, I'm not going to teach you Google ads, cause I don't run Google ads and I haven't had success with it before. So it's not my expertise. And I think you should find someone with the expertise. And I think people like that. I'm honest with what I do know, what I don't know, and what works and what doesn't work. So I think honestly, like the main thing, man, is caring. Like the most important people in my course, in my program, is the people. And so it means like are given more time. I sit there and do 6-hour coaching calls, like nonstop. I answer everyone's questions. I haven't missed one for 3 years. It's a lot of work, and we get back to everyone's DMs, everyone's emails. Like, it's a lot of work, of course, but that is my job. Is my job is to facilitate and to be there when someone really needs it. And I think finally, after being a coach since 2015, like, it's starting to get noticed. And I think that's cool, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely cool.
It takes a long time.
Yeah, but it's absolutely getting noticed. And why would you say photographers and creatives, you know, like, why do you believe in them in this industry? And I think a lot of times those are the types that get pegged as the non-business savvy types. I know I've been pegged as that many times. It's like, oh, like, you're creative. What could you possibly know about running a business? Maybe starving artist, all these terms. Why do you believe in these types of people?
I've got to be honest. It's the worst niche in the world for a coach, because you're trying to teach people something they don't want to learn. And so what I've learned the hard way is it's fucking hard. And it's hard because people, like, it's like you're literally showing someone, it's like, this is how it's going to be easy for you. And they're like, well, I don't want that. I just want to be an artist. I'm like, okay, dang. All right. Well, what's a new way that we can approach this? So it has taken me a long time to sort of work that out. Now people do come to me and they're like, actually, I am ready to learn some business jive. But the weird thing was, is I learned business doing a lot of different businesses, electrical company, like so many different things. And when I was a photographer, like, it was plug and play for me, because business is business. And it was so easy, right? Like, I understand business. And what I realized was really quickly, and I didn't realize this before, is nobody else did. So I could dominate really fast, but I was also like, oh my God, like, there's so many simple things that just no one understands. You know, back in 2013, man, I kid you not, like, no photographer was even on Instagram. They're just like, nah, that's not a thing. Why would you be on that? None of them had a good website. They were so bad. None of them spent any money on branding. I couldn't find one other photographer that ever spent money on branding in 2013. It's not even that long ago. And so we fully changed the course of everything back then. We've just gone, like, this is what I'm investing in the website. This is the branding. This is what you got to do. And our business blew up because of that reason. And it was super easy, because it's just like, find out where nobody is. But what I realized was it wasn't fun for me to be at the top. Like, how is that fun? And it was an industry that wasn't stimulating for me. So straight away, I was like, I need to show people how to do better business so we can raise all the ships, so I have more competition, so I can be pushed more, and so we can create better. And so it creates a bigger market and all those things. And back then, that was literally the thing. It was like, you don't have to suffer. It's actually not hard. And what they didn't realize was, everyone's taught at school, you can't make money from being a creative, or business is hard and business is businessy, and everyone has to have a LinkedIn profile and a suit. And I realized really fast that, like, everyone believed that so deeply. And so mindset thing back then was just showing people, it's like, if you're just you and you're a human, like, you can go places. And that's the beautiful thing. It's like, all you have to be more creative and you can be really good at business, you know? And so empowering people, well, I'm not empowering them, like, they're empowering themselves with that knowledge and with those mindset shifts. Like, they're seeking those things, and I can facilitate in some way. And I think it's there's nothing more rewarding than seeing the pictures that people send me and go, Jai, I just put my kid into college because your fucking course. Like, I just bought a new car, and I was like, you know, I was catching a bus to work, and like all these stories. And I'm like, it's incredible. Like, I mean, you did that. I didn't do that. You did that. You seeked it. And like, I'm glad that our information, or I'm glad that us holding your hand going across the road, like, whatever it is, helped in some way, because it fulfills me.
Do you think that in the, let's just say photography industry, do you think that in the photography industry, there's almost a hole of people who know how to do business, and they're being, you know, almost like an opportunity for the ones who they're creative, but they also decide, I'm going to put in the work to learn business. Do you feel like, maybe in a unique way, distinct from other industries, that being a photographer who commits themselves to learning business, that they have a massive leg up on maybe everybody else who's just kind of just focusing on, like, I just got to do the creativity stuff and I don't want to talk about business?
The photography industry is really interesting because there's not actually any other industry. There's no graphic designers or any other industry where there's so many educators and so many people interested in business. And I think specifically in the wedding photography space, but it's probably because you get paid a lot of money as a wedding photographer. So people actually do have like six-figure incomes. And so it probably attracts a lot of people that want money. You know, I could have been an event photographer, I could have been a lifestyle photographer, but I decided to do weddings. And there's got to be a percentage that do it because they're like, well, that's the path to make some money. I see reels on that shit. People saying, become a wedding photographer if you want to make a lot of money. And so I see that. But with any kind of creative, like you have a superpower that can't be outsourced. No AI can outsource your creativity. Like no matter how much you try and twist my arm on that, like I don't believe that. You can use AI to aid in your creativity. Absolutely. You know, but it means on the other spectrum, like if you're only in business and you don't have creativity, then you're missing a part that can't be outsourced. Because the cool news is I can outsource all the business stuff. I literally don't have to do anything. And I've got the knowledge now and the leadership skills where if I started a photography business right now, like I wouldn't do anything except just shoot. Because I know who I'd hire a manager. I know I'd hire a marketing team, sales team. Like I'd hire all the right people that could do all the business for me. And then I could just go and live the dream and get paid, you know, a wage, which is what I do, how I run my business now. Like I get paid a wage from my own business and, you know, I have a bookkeeper that looks after my books and I have Keela over there, like looking up, writing emails to people right now, you know? And so I can be here talking to you. And this is the creative thing that I love is this connection where I have time for you because of those reasons. So yeah, I absolutely believe. Another thing is, with creatives, what they don't realize is when you learn business now, like, you never lose it. So the next business, the next idea that you have, like it always compounds. So even if you went bankrupt tomorrow and you lost your photography business, it doesn't matter because you don't lose your knowledge and you don't lose your experiences. And so as every time you learn something new, it stacks and it's building to this big successful thing that you're looking for in the future and fulfilling those goals. And you may not be able to see it yet, but it does come through. And just like when I went bankrupt when I was 20 years old with my first business or my next failing business, I couldn't see it yet. But it was important for me to do. Like I had to go through that because if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't have the drive now or the knowledge now. And I wouldn't have so many things that I have now that I'm thankful for.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, I love that. There's so many different points. I feel like I could ask you questions about. Can I just really quickly, what are your thoughts, Jai, on, this is totally a digression, but on AI taking over and with so many photographers being fearful about this. I just recorded a quick episode yesterday, like kind of just like off the top of my head episode about this Photoshop generative fill from AI, or excuse me, from Adobe, and it's AI, and people are freaking out because they can put mountains in the background of their photos. And what do you think about this? Is this a threat to our industry or our creativity or our jobs?
It's a threat to those that are scared and that will be willing to allow the fear to overtake them and their business. It absolutely is. And it's going to be the biggest thing that wipes off most weak hands off the table because it's not the thing, it's the way that we react, it's our mindset, you know? And so I have seen so many times, like literally I talk about this all the time. Like there's always something to be scared of. Like I remember like we had the big recession and then like COVID happened and it's like, oh, it's all over. And then interest rates go up, it's all over. And then AI hits and it's all over. And cryptocurrency comes, it's all over. Like it's always all over. Like when social media came out, man, it was all over. Like,
oh yeah.
And it was. I had this big argument back in 2013. I had all the generation before me, photographers going like, why would you waste your time on Instagram? Does it even give you money? Like, do the followers even mean anything? And they'd keep asking me these questions because they couldn't see how it could help them. All they could see is how could they fight it? And so the ones that fought it lost. And then 10 years later, they came back to me saying, Jai, can you give me some tips on Instagram? I'm finally ready. I'm like, it's hard, like, but like, that's kind of the process. So right now, it's the way that we react. And I think if you mind your own business and you work on your business, like you're going to go far. And one thing that I heard Elon Musk say the other day, which fucking blew my mind because it came at the right time, is if you could start your business all over again, wipe everything off the table and then put 10% of the things that you do back on the table and then see what you actually need and how can you build a business from that. And I thought about that because right now, too many people are too scared of losing all the things they do or the way that they do it and stuff. But if you just started from scratch, if you're a photographer, today's day one, you're so thankful that there's amazing AI tools out there to help you on your business journey. Like, oh my God, this is easier than it's ever been before. This is amazing. Where if you started 5 years ago, maybe you're scared because you're like, you're scared not because of AI, you're scared because you know that your competitors and the new people coming through are going to dominate this thing. And we're scared of becoming redundant in that sense.
Yeah,
so I think
absolutely.
That's like the biggest one. But in terms of like the thing itself, like honestly, like I think it's a brilliant tool that can aid us in so many different ways. Like when Photoshop came out, the weird thing is it doesn't do anything like what you're saying right now that you can't do now anyway. I can go on Upwork right now and I can upload a photo and I can say, hey, Photoshop expert, can you put some mountains in the background for me? And they'll say, yeah, okay, no worries. Here's $50 and you can do it. Sweet. And then I could post that. So that is 100% everything that AI is doing right now could already be done. And so all it's doing is it's making it way easier for you. And so we're getting scared because we're going, wow, it's getting way easier for our competitors as well. You know, opposed to good, because I needed more time in my business and I needed to be able to create better work. So this aids me to help my clients. I'm going to use it.
Absolutely. As someone who was even telling me recently, they were like, you know, we have this, I mean, I don't know what it's like in Australia, but I know in America, like we have this epidemic of people just kind of feeling like they don't have any time because they're constantly working. And so I think to myself, like,
it's funny, hey, a new tool comes out to save you time and then we complain about it.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's what makes me think, like, what if it was a situation where, you know, we have so much help that has intelligence or artificial intelligence wrapped up behind it. And so maybe it looks like, hey, maybe we don't have to work as much and still get the same output. You know what I'm saying? And maybe we can kind of like enjoy more personal sides of our life while still a lot of things running in the background. And so obviously there's dangers and I don't want to negate that. There's things that are scary to people and I get that. But at the same time, I just look at it as everything at one point freaked people out when we took the next step of technology. I mean, even when we probably went from film to digital photography, all the film photographers were freaking out.
I was through that, man. Like,
yeah,
I remember.
Yeah, you could probably like talk about it.
It was exactly the same as this. And everyone was like fighting each other. If you take a digital photo, you're not a real photographer. If you're using Photoshop or Lightroom, you're not a real photographer. If you're not in the dark room, you're not a real... Dude, it was huge. And it was exactly the same as right now.
This is so good for people to hear. I don't even know if I was even thinking of, let's say we couldn't post-process our photos at all at one point. And now we have presets that can take a photo.
Exactly.
You know, it looked like it was taken in freezing Antarctica and now it looks all golden and glowy. And you know what I'm saying? Or mm-hmm. even like, you know, using false light leak presets or, you know, all these things are ultimately... they are creating a sense of a false reality of what actually took place in the photo for enhancement. And in this sense, back when those things first came to be, we could have also had the exact same behavior and demeanor towards those things. So it's like, hey, which
100%.
Like you're just choosing, you're just kind of like picking and choosing what is quote unquote too far for you or what is, you know, not ethical or whatever. And you're kind of leaving half of the narrative and half of our history out of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. And I think like even just with this stuff, like we have a certain amount of bandwidth and decisions that we can make per day and time that we can put into things. And the more that you're putting your time into the negative outcomes and things that are not like benefiting your business and your own art and your own creativity, it's taken away from that. And I think we get to choose right now where we put our time and attention and energy and stuff. And if we want to jump online to like go and protest and we want to join taxis to protest Uber and we want to, you know, like try and protest Airbnb for hotels and like try and protect industries and stuff, like it's a hard battle. And in the process, your business will see the negative effects that you're looking for, or it will see the positive effects that you're looking for. So make sure you're looking for the right one that you want to see.
Do you, Jai, think that kind of on that, do you think that there is, we'll put it this way. Sometimes I'll talk about excuses and, you know, people dealing with maybe some sort of setback or something that in a sense can kind of be out of their control. Do you think that there is any point in kind of even spending time on excuses or making excuses or saying one thing is a certain way and it's holding me back? Or do you think it's just up to the person to change their situation?
Yeah, I know you asked that question because you know my answer. And
I do know your answer.
Yeah. It is interesting because, like, the thing is, if you're out there right now, like, we have a certain level of emotional intelligence. And what's really cool about emotional intelligence, instead of IQ, with your EQ, you can actually increase it, where you can't actually increase your IQ. And so we increase it by expanding our conversations and talking to people that we don't agree with, or going to therapy, or listen to a coach, listen to a podcast, reading a book. And we can expand how much we believe the world is real and our lens is the way that the world actually is. And so as you sort of go through this path, and we call it self-development because we're developing ourselves into who we are, we have a narrative of who we believe we are and what we believe the world is. And as we start learning more things, we start learning more of, like, we start realizing more that we are in our own way, for starters. And it's like, damn, my own excuses, like, it's not serving me. I did put the blame on everybody else. And as you go up through that ladder, you see as people get more and more successful, they always take on all the responsibility themselves. And the highest amount of success is going to be the person that takes all responsibility, or even for the things that are fully out of their control. They take responsibility for the economy, you know, and they will find a way to make sure that they don't have the things out of their control. So they love control. They're control freaks. And I'm always controlling. I'm controlling my brain, right? You can do that through, like, for instance, like, if you're getting online bullies, like, unfollow some people, you know, stop looking at Instagram, stop spending so much time on there, because you know that your mind goes out of control and you start making up excuses and comparing yourself, and then that imposter syndrome and everything else comes when that happens. So control the situation and go, it's my fault because I spent too much time on those platforms. Actually, it's my fault because I haven't actually worked on myself. I'm triggered by your sales post. Why is that? It's my fault. And if you start moving through the world like that, like, everything changes, you know, because then you realize the cool thing is everything negative, I won't say it's your fault. It's a result from you for sure. But I won't say in a negative way saying it's your fault, because that means something's broken or something. But everything positive is also your fault as well. So the reason why you've got 5,000 followers on Instagram, that's your fault. The reason why, like, you're blowing up on Instagram right now and you've just done some cool stuff. Like, when I see that, I'm like, yes, that is your fault. Like, you made that happen. You know, where someone else, like, if you have a lower EQ, you might go, oh, that was luck. You know, well, that would happen for him because he's talented and I'm not talented. I don't see that. I'm like, man, that's his fault. He literally worked for it. He's fucking working hard for it, you know? So it's a different perspective then. It's no longer entitlement and it's no longer blaming others. It's like taking full responsibility of your failures and your success.
Yeah, I love that. And I heard somebody say something this just today where they were basically saying, even when someone else caused something, when, let's say, someone else, or not even someone else, maybe something else, a circumstance, and it's something that's negative in your life or something negative in your circumstances, it's still your responsibility now to kind of, like, see what you have in your hands. And then what do you do with that, right? Because I think so often we can just think, well, if I just prove that I didn't cause this and that someone else caused this and they get the blame for it, then somehow that does me, like, a service, or somehow that makes me feel better. When in reality, like, that's not helping you at all. Like, the sooner you can just get over the wrong thing that happened and move on and be like, listen, I'm not gonna let that hold me back. Ultimately, to me, it strips the power of either the person or the circumstance that held you back in the first place. And it reclaims the power to back to yourself. You know what I'm saying?
You feel empowered. I mean, that's the thing. If it's not your fault, then the problem is it's someone else's fault and you can't change that person.
Exactly. That you can only change yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. You can only change yourself. So it's way easier to look after yourself.
Yeah. It's like, which one would you like to choose? Yeah, no, I love that. So do you ever feel like, cause obviously you share so much and you have a podcast, you have social media, you do workshops, you do all these types of things where you're sharing so much of your knowledge, your course. Do you ever worry, are you giving away too much? Are you, you know, you're telling all your secrets. Like, is there any risk in that? Do people ever get frustrated with you in that? What would you say to that?
Yeah, definitely people get frustrated with me. I don't see any risk because I believe like education needs to be out there for those that are seeking it. Like it only helps the people that are actually seeking it and implementing it. So for the rest, it doesn't really matter. I think for me, I've done a lot of things in my career that's like really pissed people off for sure. So in 2015, I started these workshops and they went gangbusters. They were so popular. And I'll teach people for 2 days, give them away all the secrets. And all the big timer photographers at the time hated me because they're like, Jai, you're creating so much more competition. You know, there's going to be less work for us. They shouldn't give away the secrets. You're charging too little. They're only $1,500. As a result, the ones that wanted the gatekeep, they lost. And I only got busier and busier, funny enough, because the market got busier and busier as people got better and better at business. And then they were able to advertise more. And then more people had actually created more clients. Because believe it or not, I think in the US right now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's about 30% of weddings have a photographer. Because everyone thinks wedding needs a photographer. And that's BS, man. I've been broke before. It's a privilege to be able to hire a photographer. Most people don't have a photographer, right? And so I think that was a big game changer. And then the next game changer was create content as affordable as possible so it helps everyone. And obviously in 2020, we did that with the Wedding Photography Summit and we sold it for $7. And we got so much hate. I'm getting hate right now because we're doing something similar real soon because it's like, you're giving away the secrets, man. It's all free. You're creating too much competition. It doesn't do that though. What it does is it creates a better, better industry, you know, and it helps so many people. I wish I had that same help or those same resources. And I think it's really important to, if you get any kind of success, it's your duty to put down the ladder so you can help others up because so many people helped you up. No matter how much that you say that you're self-made, someone out there helped you in some way and gave you some inspiration or a podcast episode or a quote or something that kept you going in your darkest times and the hardest times. And I think it's an obligation now that you're in a position where you benefited from all of that and from an industry. So you better give back. And I think, I don't see any, personally, there's no negatives. I just only see positives and everything that I've shared, of course, people replicate our stuff. People steal our stuff all the time. People just repurpose our content. It happens all the time. But I think if you're genuine and you're the one not adding to the noise, you're the voice, I think people know where it comes from. And even if they don't, I'm not doing it for me. So
no, I love that. And I think it's like we all rise together, you know, if there's a certain, you could even take a local community, right? So if all these local photographers are all, rising together, maybe they're charging higher prices, maybe they're delivering better galleries, they're giving better client experiences. This is only helping the entire community of both just, the people of the community and also the photography community. People's rates are probably collectively going to go up higher. You know, the photographer that just started that doesn't know if they can make it in photography is like, hey, well, I got this person over here and they're making 20K months. And so, yeah, I can do this. You know what I'm saying? So I think we all, in so many senses, we rise together. And the more that we can, every time I feel like I give a tip, I feel like, hey, if you take this and run with it and it works, I win too. You know what I mean?
Well, another thing is when we say rise together, what I do see in a lot, in the industry is we're all rising together until you're the person at the bottom. And then you're offering discounts and doing things like that. And this is where I was. When I first started, I shot for free. My first 10 weddings, I shot for free. And then I heavily discounted them. And I had everyone at the top that I looked up to all hating on me because they're like, you're bringing down the market. You're undercutting the market. You shouldn't be doing this. You're devaluing us and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, we're just looking out for the industry. And I'm like, you're not. You're looking out for yourself because you're scared of me as a threat. And I think about that all the time. I'm like, yes, it's good that we're all raising the bar and we create better client experiences and stuff, but we can't forget the person that's just coming out. And if they are a weekend warrior and they're shooting on the weekends and they can afford to do it for free, good for them. And you should do that. You should do the things you need to do to get to the position when you can afford education and a better business model and you can move up to where we were. Because I started exactly where you were. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to remember that as well. instead yeah. of throwing shade on people for not being to where we've expect them to be in our industry, and we're holding ourselves up so high. So just something I wanted to share there, obviously, on that, but and I'm really passionate about that as well, because I obviously got beat down so much when I first started. Don't ever work for free, everyone told me, and I was like, man, I'll do whatever I have to change my life, you know?
Right.
And exactly. I still do. I still work for free. I still shoot for free. Like, I still do the things I have to do.
Hey, if Jai Long still shoots for free, that kind of makes everybody like in that same exactly. category of like, no one's too good for it, you know?
Exactly, man.
No, I love that. I still shoot for free all the time. Like, I was just thinking, it's like, I got to put some free shoots on my calendar this summer, especially like the weather's so nice, and just like to yes. keep myself creative and just
exactly.
to, I don't
get
know, like sometimes
those can some
be my, yeah, like those can be some of my favorite pieces of work and like some of my favorite clients to work with. And I think that if you treat them so incredibly well, like I even tell people like, hey, do a free shoot, but treat them like a paid client and
absolutely.
See what happens. You know what I'm saying? Cause don't do the free shoot and then treat them like the free shoot. You know, if you want actually, I think you can get so many people just like spider webbing off of that one client that you treated so well for free, and you went above and beyond and just blew them away, that it can just go nuts like wildfire with referral marketing.
Hey, I want to actually share something on that. That's just like a yeah. little perspective that I have. You said it so perfectly there. It's like, if you're shooting for free, don't act as if you're not getting paid. And I think one huge problem that I see in all industries, but specifically in the photography industry, is we peg our value on how much we get paid, and then we act differently. And honestly, the thing that's helped me with so much success in my life is by understanding that no matter how much money someone pays me, it doesn't change my value. And my value is how I value myself. And so if someone pays me $7 for a workshop, if someone's listening to this podcast episode right now, if someone pays me $20,000 for some mentoring, if someone gets me to shoot their wedding for free, if someone pays me $20,000 to shoot their wedding, I don't act any different, because it's me showing up, and it's me not holding back, and it's me giving away the secrets, and it's me giving you attention and a DM. I don't care if you've got 200 followers or 200,000 followers or 2 million followers. Like, it doesn't make any difference. And I think it's really important, because you are always going to feel undervalued if your value is based on a random number that you made up yourself, you know, because you believe that's what you're worth. But really, no one can value you. You're worth so much more. So value yourself so much that that's the way that you move through the world. How can I bring this value to you, regardless of what I get back from it?
Absolutely. Do you ever feel like, because I can see people thinking to themselves, well, this is all good, but what about, you know, like taking it to this level? And so, and I even hear people say all the time, like, you know, the little things in the education space, like teach the what, not the how, or something like that, different things like that. There's other sayings out there as well. Do you ever feel like you can give too much and have that be a detriment to your business in the long term? Or do you feel like you can never give too much?
I actually don't think you can ever give too much. I know people sometimes say like, oh, if you give too much, you're going to lead to burnout. You know, imagine if you shot too many free weddings, you're leading to burnout. I don't believe you can get burnt out from doing the thing that you love personally. I get burnt out from doing shit things like going shopping to get food. I hate that. I'm burnt out after 45 minutes. Like, you know, but I can work all day and I'm not burnt out. I think, the interesting thing is, I didn't understand, and I know what you're talking about, like, don't teach the how, teach the why. I understand that now. And it took me a long time, because I had a mentor teach me that when I first started doing coaching, and I couldn't understand it. I was like, why wouldn't I give everyone the how? But as I've been doing it, and I've got thousands of clients now, I'm starting to understand. And the thing is, it's like I said at the very beginning, you're teaching people the how before they know the why is teaching them that they need business, but they don't even want business, you know? And so it gets overwhelming, and it's not reading the room. But teaching someone the how is really important, because whether they always think like, oh, this is a ripoff because I'm not actually getting the information, I'm not getting the exact strategies. But the strategies will fall short if you're not like 100% confident in yourself and you understand yourself, right? So me and you could have the exact same strategies, same playbook, and we both open it up, and we're going to get vastly different results. Like, how does that happen? You know, I might go like, I'm struggling, I can't get any clients. And you go like, this is the best thing I've ever done. I'm just fucking skyrocketing here. And the difference is actually my mindset. I didn't believe that it was, I could do it, or that I am worth it, or, you know, so many different things where you just believed you've got the answers and you can go for it. So I do believe it needs to be in that order. If you just teach the how, people won't actually take action because it doesn't, like the how never triggers a reaction for us to get excited about the thing. Like a how is a to-do list and no one's excited about that, but everyone's excited about the result, and then they will pull themselves through that to-do list because it's way less pain doing the to-do list than losing that result. And so they want that result. So I think it is really important that we make sure that we are on that path to showing people that when they're ready, like the how's the easy bit. Like it's literally so easy. You know, I know, like, I can build a $1 million business so quick. Like I know the how, it's really easy. And the hard bit though is obviously the my why, my purpose, like you talk about, and my belief in myself that I can make it happen. And, you know, can I put in the time? Can I put in the energy? Do I have the resources? Do I have know-how? Am I resourceful? And all the limiting beliefs that come up as well. Am I good enough? Am I smart enough? Am I good looking enough? Am I, and everything else.
Yeah, no, I love that. My coaching program, it's so important for me with the students that are in that. It's like, I gotta get you to the point where you know why you're doing this. And I even ask them questions like, is anything off the table? Like, is anything too hard, or is anything going to be like a deal breaker for you? Of course, within the bounds of like ethics and morals, but I'm saying like, is anything else? Are you going to come to me and say, that's too hard. That's too many reps. That's too much consistency. Because if that's the case, I probably can't help you, to be honest. And so it's like, we got to get to that point where we know why we're doing this. And I even say like, why, it's even like for me, and I think for so many people, you got to, when you make a change in your business, you got to get tangible with like, how is this actually going to change my life? Like what specific things are going to change? Make it personal, like make it philosophical, like why do you deserve this, or why should you be in this position, or why are you going to even work hard at this? You know what I'm saying? So I love that. You got to start with the why.
You do. And if you don't, you're going to get burnt out.
Like, absolutely.
There is no doubt in my mind. And when time gets tough or AI comes around, you're going to give up. If you don't have something that's stronger than the fear and the threat that's at our door, then you just won't go through it. And I'm saying from experience, that's why I say it with confidence, like I was saying before. Like from experience, I know you won't get through it because I have stopped as well. And the only way you can fail is stopping. And the only way you'll stop is when you lose direction and your passion and you don't know why you're doing it.
The only way you can fail is if you stop. I love that. In this year, 2023, where do you think photographers need to focus their attention to really stand out?
Good question, man. I actually think you're doing exactly right. It's building a personal brand. I've actually been on this train for quite a while now, but I think like building a personal brand is so important. What I have learned in, and this is obviously take it or leave it for whoever's listening, and everything applies differently to us. But what I have learned in my past experiences is that I'm multifaceted, multi-entrepreneur, and I love lots of different things. And so I'm not one size fits all, and I'm just not built that way. And so for me, it's not like one company, one job title, and that's it for the rest of my life. Like I have a clothing brand, I've got a podcast, like I have a coaching call, like I have my property developments going on. I have so many different things. And so I can share all that stuff with my personal brand and people don't get thrown by it because like, oh yeah, of course Jai. And now Jai's doing the shoot. Okay, of course he's doing that. And now he's doing the coaching call. Of course he's doing that. And now he's just launched a new product line of clothing. Of course he's doing that. Because I've built it out to show people those expectations. Now he's got an event happening in Los Angeles. Of course he's doing that, you know, because it makes sense now. And I think instead of being the product, which is I am a wedding photographer, I am a family photographer, I am this, like instead of being the product, like you become the brand. Instead of the brand being the product, like you are the brand. And I think if you're going to put time and attention into anything, it doesn't mean you have to show up and do videos. It doesn't mean you have to get uncomfortable and do all those things, but somehow like allowing people to connect with you is going to be more powerful than AI and to so many other things that are automating everyone's lives. And more than ever, like people want to see human intelligence and human emotions and you as a human.
Totally. And that's, I think that's the best defense against AI is, you know, AI is never going to get to the point where it creates human connection. AI can't have empathy. AI can't love. AI can't feel. It can't, come. I don't even know if AI will ever be able to come up with original thought that wasn't sourced ultimately from like human thoughts.
Well, that would be a weird world if they could do that, actually.
Yeah.
When you think about that.
I don't know if it could do that, but I don't think it could. And so to me, it's like, what are you going to do to make sure that your value is not only on the product, like you're saying, like the photos, because I don't know the bounds of AI, but you know, it's like, if you can put the value on you and working with you, I mean, we've all been on those phone calls where we're talking with like a bot. We've all been on those chat bots where we're talking with a chat bot. And it's like, at some point we get to that place where we're like, all right, I just want to speak with a human. Can I please just speak with a human? You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, I think that's our best defense against anything in the future that might freak us out. It's like, we're the human, like that can't be created. So, hey, you mentioned your workshop in LA. I was going to mention it at the end, but honestly, give us a little preview about what's going on in LA and in August.
I've got to say, so I'm really excited. We're coming to Los Angeles and you're going to be speaking on the main stage, which is really cool. I've got to say, I'm really fucking scared. And for a few different reasons. Like one reason is because like we got 200 in-person tickets, man. Like I would hate to say that I am confident in saying that I can just sell that and book out a room. But like, that's just being egotistical, thinking like, yeah, everyone wants to be there with us and stuff. And like, you just got to take responsibility and realize that like, you know, none of us are that popular where we deserve the attention of 200 people to join us in a room. So there's a lot of work we got to do. So there's that. And because I've been online for the last 3 years, like just stepping into a room with people, I think that's going to be really scary. And like, you know, I've made in the last 3 years, like so many connections online. I have so many like best friends online now, which I never thought I would say, but I haven't met them all in real life. So being in a room with a whole bunch of people that are just like me, ambitious, and they're all looking for purpose. They're all looking for, you know, how can they connect the dots? How can they build something that they love, that they're absolutely like passionate about and live like a purpose-filled life? I think for me, like just being in that room and the energy there is going to be worth it on its own. But yeah, like coming to LA, over 2 days, we have, I think like 8 speakers or something. And we're going to do online, offline. So it's going to be really interesting. I've never seen anything like this in the space before. Generally when we do workshops or like anything we do is we're usually the first ones, which is really funny because the first ones don't get rewarded. It's bad to be first, always. It's kind of, like someone said to me, like a business coach not too long ago, I said, Jai, like the old saying goes, the pioneers get slaughtered and then everybody else gets to reap the benefits, right? And it's like that because whenever I launch something for the first time, usually I'm before the time. And if no one else has done it before, people don't understand it. And usually it kind of bombs and then someone else takes the idea and runs with it. So it's hard to time the perfect timing for something like this. But I think now, hopefully, if I'm any good at business, hopefully I'm timing this right. And we're going to have a really good time with everyone together online and offline. And like, we've got some really cool interactive features where everyone can talk to each other. So I think it's going to be pretty cool.
I love that. I mean, this is probably easy for me to say, but I've no doubt you'll sell them out. And I think it's just like, you got an incredible lineup. You got an incredible, like just brand about yourself. And I think people would be absolutely nuts to not come to this workshop. I mean, even just like, yes, there's obviously always that virtual option for some workshops, which is really cool that you're offering that. But I think being there in person, there's something about that.
That's the key.
Yeah. Just something about it. It changes people. And, you know, it's just like that in-person experience that we don't get all that time because we're always on our phones. We're always on our computers, but you get in person.
Another cool thing is, like we made it like, so I don't know how we worked it out, but we worked out the numbers, but we made it as affordable as we possibly could, where if we don't sell, basically if we don't sell out, it's going to cost me money to put on. And so it's really interesting because, Yeah, it's like not many educators would run the risk like that for, like, even in my career, like how far along I am, I'm still risking it all every time. And so it's just interesting to be in that space where you keep risking it, and then I can show my communities, like, you know, we're risking it all. Let's see if what can work and bring people on the journey and stuff. But yeah, like, we've made it as affordable as it possibly could for everybody. And so I feel like everybody wins in this situation. Speakers win, students win. Like, it's just one of those things that I've loved. I've kind of cracked the code of just making it so, like, everyone feels valued and everyone feels like it's accessible.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it gets people on board. It's like, hey, that's an inspiring story, in my opinion, of like, hey, like, he's risking it. I'm going to risk it too, to dive into this.
Absolutely.
All right. So, closing question that I give everybody, Jai, it's a two-part question. What is something you are super passionate about? One, in your personal life, could be anything. And then number two, same question for your professional life.
Ooh. Okay. So personal life is an interesting one. I'm so passionate about so many things, but one thing is self-development. And I have been for since I was 20 years old, I've been reading books and doing all the things, you know, leveling up. But only just a few weeks ago, for the first time ever, I went and seen a therapist. And so I've booked in for every Friday now, I'm going in and seeing my therapist, and I'm just talking through things. And I'm really passionate about the fact that I'm getting uncomfortable and I get to learn something new about myself. And so in my personal life, I'm really excited to go through that journey. There's also, like, obviously the way that I grew up, there's a lot of like trauma and things I never dealt with because I just went guns blazing and just cruised off and worked. So yeah, honestly, like, it's a whole new world for me. And I feel like it's so fascinating. And I love the fact that I'm already feeling lighter and more energy, and I can create again and do things.
Yeah, absolutely. So
that's my personal life. And then in professional life, I think I'm always trying to push the boundaries of what is possible, and I'm always tethering on the edge of losing it all or succeeding. And I think this year hasn't, you know, it's been exactly the same, and it's a fascinating place to be, but it's super scary. And I think if you're not always scared in business, you're not growing. You get to a plateau space. And so we've been able to just keep pushing and like, and sort of just like feeling that edge over and over, which I am right now. And to be honest, like, I don't do it for the money. I don't do it for, there's so many things that we don't do it for. And for me, it makes me feel alive. Like, to have the opportunity and the privilege to be able to create things and get attention and build something that I love the way that I want to do it, have my own rules. Like, it's so rewarding. And so for me, yeah, it's like the connections I'm making right now and the fact that I'm still able to push to the limits.
Yeah. I love that. You talk about self-development. So real quick, is there any self-development book that changed your life that you absolutely loved?
One that I really love is You're a Badass at Making Money. And like, my wife actually read that first, and then she was like, you really like it. You really like it. And then I finally did listen to it. And then I was like, well, that was actually really good. A lot of stuff that I already knew and the way that I thought anyway, but I loved the storytelling, stuff like that. My favorite book ever actually is Green Lights by Matthew McConaughey.
Really? Like, I've never read that.
Oh man. That one was just like, I guess like it, you know, we sort of had a similar upbringing and stuff like that. And it's just the perspective of like, it's like, is this a green light or is this a red light throughout life as you're sort of cruising through? And for me, like, I listened to it and I was like, dang, like, it actually made me feel like I'm not good enough, because I was like, how could someone make something so good and I'm so far behind that, you know? And so,
absolutely.
Yeah, it just changed my perspective on a lot of things.
Yeah, I love that. Have you ever read a book called Psycho Cybernetics by chance?
I haven't, no.
Should read that. It's all about the subconscious mind, and it's actually an older book, but I think some of the oldest books are always some of the best. But I think you'd love it. It's a lot about like failure mindset and like how much we take with us in our subconscious mind. And it gets a little like, if you have any interest in like brain, like woo-woo, not like woo-woo, but like brain science, ultimately, I think it's just like, I think you'd love
100%. Yeah, I'm fully into that.
All right, man. So last question, where can everyone find you in line? Where can we learn more?
Hey, so the best way to find me, if you're listening to this podcast, is I've got a podcast called Make Your Break, and I'm on there every week, and I'd love to see you guys there. And of course, the last place is you can see both of us at the Unrealistic Workshop in Los Angeles. And if you can't make it in person, you can make it online. So wherever you are in the world, if you don't have the big budget to come and fly yourself there and get a hotel, that's totally fine because we can talk to you online, which is going to be equally as fun. So those two places, and I'm sure you'll have a link somewhere. And
yeah, we'll put all that in the show notes and so people can just like access it really easily.
Cool, man. Hey, I just want to say thank you for all the really good questions. It was a really good conversation today. And I know your audience would really appreciate your podcast and the way that you're showing up. So thank you. And thank you for having me.
Hey, Make Your Breakers. Don't you hate how you can't sort through podcasts by most listened to, most reviewed, and most loved? Ah, right? As fellow podcast junkies, we feel you. While we can't magically change Apple or Spotify's platform, we have created a little something-something. Sifting through all of Make Your Breaks episodes to date, yep, we are talking all 200-plus episodes, we've meticulously curated some banging playlists just for you. We're talking the all-time hottest hits from Make Your Break, starring the juicy inspiration, motivation, and creative biz insights you know and love. Sound good? Jump into the show notes and follow the link to generate your very own Make Your Break playlist.